The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's my guy.
Hello.
How you been? How you been? Steve Sciarippa comes into the studio. We haven't seen each other in a long time. Yeah, rocking. That's a new hoodie. All right. I see nice. What's going on. Steve's here in part because, like me, a big fan of the charity work that James Dolan has spearheaded and what the Garden gets behind all the time. And as you know, on March 28th, there's a private free concert at the Garden to support NYPD, the men and women of the police force, and of course their families. And Steve's a big part of that. Good to see you, pal. Can you turn his microphone on, guys?
All right.
Yeah, no complaints. No complaints. There you go.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, what's up with you these days?
All is well. What's up? I just came back from a tour with Michael Imperioli. We do our soprano show.
Right.
We did 27,000 people.
Really? In small theaters?
2,000 seaters.
Oh, wow.
2,200 okay. seaters.
Yeah.
We did 14 shows in 10 cities.
Give me an idea of what the show is. Is it telling
show,
stories
we show
about?
Clips. We got a comic, great comic, Joey Cola, Long Island
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're a Long Island guy?
I'm a New Rochelle guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Westchester.
So we got him. He comes out, clips, slides, tell funny behind-the-scenes stories.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
Comedy-driven, very funny. Only people that were there would know. We've done it all over the United States,
yeah.
Australia. They are hungry for the show there.
It's crazy, Greg, right?
Yeah. Nothing you've ever seen before. I mean,
in Australia?
Australia and the UK. We
wow.
started in Belfast, went all the way down Nottingham, Birmingham, London. Sold out the London Palladium 3 times.
So it's really just an excuse to travel. It's really just an excuse for you and Michael to travel.
I mean, it was hard work. I'm old now. In the old days, I would have loved it.
Yeah,
I would have
right,
been going
yeah.
crazy in the old days. I couldn't even do it now, man.
It's so funny how Sopranos has reached, I guess, really a third generation in a lot of ways. Like, I have a 15-year-old who's now watching Sopranos. And I went back and checked this morning because it dawned on me. I know 2007, if I'm correct, was the last year, right?
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't realize is that that show's first episode was in 1999.
99. And
right?
they shot the pilot in 97.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It took them a whole year to see if they were going to get picked up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That had been kicking around. Yeah.
Did the pilot ever air? Like, it was the first episode of the pilot?
It was the first episode of the pilot. Yeah.
So that sat in the can for 2 years?
So it was a long time, yeah. Well,
wow.
You know, by the time it came out, don't forget, Sopranos did it different. It's not like now. You shoot a show, 3 weeks, a month later, it's on the air.
Right.
They got them all in the can, the Sopranos. Mm-hmm. 13 episodes in the can.
So they did a whole first season.
And then they aired them. So everything is in, it's edited, so it takes a long time. That's why even...
So let me ask you this. Before you become a household name, and you move from Vegas back, and you're trying your hand at comedy and acting and whatnot, when you're waiting for HBO or really any place, platform, to greenlight it, that waiting period must have been nuts.
Well, I wasn't there at the I came in the second episode of the second season, but we had a year and a half, 2 years between seasons.
Right.
So you got to get out
make
there.
A living.
You got to get out there and work, man. You got to scramble.
Yeah. Right. You guys were making the big wood in year two.
Not at all. Not until year four for me.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I wasn't making I actually took a cut in pay from Vegas to come here and be on.
Really? Because you were an entertainment director at a casino, right?
Entertainment director at the Riviera Hotel. I took a cut in pay. But I was doing all kinds of stuff. Pyramid. I was doing Hollywood Squares. I was hustling.
Whatever you do.
I had to do whatever
you guys
I had
even
to do,
did a thing. I forget which season it was. Well, obviously, I don't gamble anymore for obvious reasons. But I used to have a deal down in Atlantic City with a number of casinos. And I'll never forget, you guys had the entire cast came down. I want to say it was the Hilton. Yes, you guys came down to the Hilton, and you would have thought, Big Mac, the Beatles were there.
Yeah.
When did you know? I guess season one was a hit. You joined a hit show.
Yeah.
But when did you know, like walking down the street, that it was different for you?
Well, season two, when it aired, I shot it like in July of 2000, right? And then once it hit in January, I mean, people that I knew were like asking me for autographs. I was embarrassed. I was going, I know you for 20 years. I want my autograph.
Yeah.
And then the show was that crazy. It was like a cult. You know, Sunday nights, everyone watched
it. They did.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I mean, I always say crime was down on Sunday night.
Right.
All the gangsters and thieves were home watching the show.
I think historically, last 25 years, let's say, the three shows that had that kind of impact in HBO were Sopranos, obviously. Sex in the City had that kind of crazy following, more amongst women, of course. And I think Entourage got kind of close in a nichier way. But those are like the three shows where people cannot get enough of it. Like, you guys are touring the world. I guarantee if there was a Sopranos podcast, it would shoot right up to the charts,
well,
right?
We did a podcast, man, Michael. It was very popular.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
That was on HBO Max.
You know, over the years that you guys are actively doing it, actually mistook you for a gangster?
Well, it happens all the time.
To this day.
A guy will say, I got my cousins in Rikers. I said, what does that have to do with me?
Right.
You know, what does that have to do with me? Right. I'm an actor. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't like that. You know, I grew up around that, but I don't like it.
Right. You're like, I don't have that front table at Rayo's. How come you're not sitting there?
I don't do any of that stuff. So that happens a lot. They also, listen, there's a story Michael tells Jim. Gets a phone call in the middle of the night. It's a block call.
Right.
Picks up his cell phone. The guy goes, hey, we like what you're doing. But remember, a Don doesn't wear shorts. Click. True story. Jim has no idea who it was, what it was.
They would watch and critique real life.
Listen, I believe they watched the show. I lived.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
In Little Italy for a while,
right
above one of the restaurants, and all those guys loved the show. I mean, because it was authentic.
Yeah,
you know, like you know, if you watch a show, even about Vegas, I could tell you in 5 minutes if
same.
This show is legit or not.
Same.
Right? Because what do they always do? The guy has a 20, he hits, and he gets an ace. Right? Come on, you know, you know, it's all that nonsense. Yeah. Like, a show about New York, something you know about.
Right. Yes.
If you had two. Radio guys, you would go, this is complete nonsense.
Yeah. It's like when I hear people talking about playing cards, I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know,
I will tell you this, though. Early on in my gambling, I did see a guy get punched right in the mouth for splitting tens at a blackjack table.
Yeah,
dude got up, didn't say a word. It was one of those times where what he did absolutely negatively impacted the table.
Sure.
This is before I played alone, obviously, and I was being stupid. Guy got up, didn't say a word, pop.
Yep.
Yeah, cost him money.
Yeah. Listen, you need a good third baseman, man. You need a good third baseman.
Yes, you do.
You know what I'm saying?
If you're playing with others, yes, you do.
If you're playing with others, you need a third baseman. He's carrying all the – he's got pressure on him, which is why slots became so popular, because people don't want that pressure.
Yeah.
Playing with other people, I screwed up. You know, they get nervous. Yeah. That's why slot machine. Listen, when I first moved to Vegas, the early 80s, you know, so poker machines were just coming out then.
Right. Right.
It was all new, man.
Yeah, poker changed when Chris Moneymaker, who's a nobody,
won the
World Series. And all of a sudden, every guy with a Friday night game was like, I'll put together the 10 G's to go out to Vegas. If Moneymaker can do it, he single-handedly, and not on purpose, changed the way the popularity of poker in this country. And there's no one in a close second place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a blackjack guy, but you know, guys that like playing hold'em with the Friday night games with your buddies, Chris Moneymaker changed the world.
Well, I think that's what happened, though, right? You got guys, they're good card players back in the basement,
right.
Back home, and then they go out there and they get their dick knocked in.
That's
you
right.
know what I'm saying?
I mean, loved when those guys showed up.
Exactly.
They had no chance.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing, when I was in Vegas, you know, you think... So I moved there in 1980, and everybody thinks New Yorkers are so sharp, you know?
Right.
And then you go down there, you got these guys with the Southern, they're from Alabama, the Southern drawl, and they are as sharp, they'll take your shoes.
Yes. Yeah.
These guys are playing, you know, football, all these poker players are playing, they're playing baseball. I mean,
look, the greatest sports gambler of all time is a guy named Billy Walters. And he did some time as well, got caught up in an insider trading thing, which I didn't think he was guilty of. Phil Mickelson was involved with it. It's public, which is why I'm talking about it. And he was like a Midwestern gentleman.
That's what
you
I
You would not think twice about him if you passed him on the street. And he was the sharpest sports bettor to this day, I think, in the history of Vegas.
And there was a lot of them. And there was a lot of guys. And there was all those Chip Reese and all those poker players.
Yeah.
Doyle Brunson, are you kidding me?
Yeah, legend. Oh. Yeah.
I mean, you know, these guys, Doyle Brunson told me, because I knew him, you know, quite well. He told me one time, 5 days. The game went on for 5 days.
I believe it.
Five days.
Yeah. You know? Those guys also have the best stories to tell because they're real.
Oh.
And, you know, they would, you know, the problem is I think you could make a living playing poker.
Hard to, though.
Yeah, but the problem is very few just play poker.
Right.
Like Stu Unger, we did the movie, me and Michael, you know, we did that high roller.
Stu Unger was a legendary guy who won the World Series and had a lot of problems and obviously cost him his life. I think died broke as well, right? Didn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely. But, I mean, he was the Babe Ruth
He's
of,
a genius.
Of you know, poker. He won the World Series a couple times, but he would go and bet $30,000 on a horse, $40,000 on a horse.
Yeah, he was a bad gambler, but a genius when it came to poker. Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy.
Yeah. So Steve Sharippa's here. Look, I know you're a partner with The Garden, a friend of The Garden, and we see you at all the Knick games, but what a lot of people don't know about you is that you're also the first call that James Dolan makes and The Garden makes when there's anything charitable going on. From the Garden of Dreams Foundation, which for my money is the single greatest charity ever established in New York City, which I'll get to in a second. And now they decided to give back to the men and women of the NYPD and their families. And John Fogerty's playing and Cindy Lauper's playing. Our buddy Chris DiStefano is going to do his act.
Right.
And a number of other...
Sam Morrell.
Sam Morrell's another great comedian. Yep.
And listen, this is great what they're doing.
Yeah.
Thank you, NYPD. And you know what? Everybody, as we walk down the street, we should thank the NYPD.
Yep.
I'm a pro-cop guy.
Yeah.
I don't know where or when or how it became fashionable to dislike cops.
Yeah.
Because I've only respected cops growing up. I grew up in Benson Arts, a tough neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I don't get it. I think it started with that jackass, de Blasio. He started
a lot of
that.
He certainly didn't make it any better.
He started a lot of that crap, okay? Listen. They put their lives on the line. They don't make a whole lot of money. We know what they make, what they do. They don't get the respect. They're throwing snowballs at them, blah, blah, blah. The Garden doing a wonderful thing. Jim's Dolan, who doesn't get the credit. You know, he does not get for his generosity. You know?
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, for years and years. And I've said this years publicly, right? You come in, it's for NYPD, their families of men and women, going to have a wonderful night of entertainment. It's free.
Yes.
And it's just a thank you. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you. Not the parking meter guys. We don't care about that.
We don't like that.
Don't thank them. Don't thank the Paul Kazina guy.
That's
I was
right.
15 feet from that.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know that.
Not those guys.
You're so right.
Paul, the NYPD with the guns, those yes. guys. Those
yeah,
guys.
The parking meters aren't allowed in the building. that night, by the way. Yeah, and it's totally free, and the Garden is donating all the costs, and it's expensive to put any kind of concert on the Garden. It's six figures plus. And James Dolan donates all that, and he eats the cost of it. And it's a great event. It's March 28th.
It's going to be great. I think it's wonderful what they're doing. I mean, honestly. Yeah. And there's going to be other celebrity presenters and other guys. So it's going to be just a great night.
I agree.
This will be a great New York City night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for all the right reasons.
Yeah, and you'll be able to see videos of it. I don't know all of it, but I'm sure they're going to put out on MSG at some point. So obviously, we can't go to it unless you're invited or you're associated with a police officer in your family or you're a cop. And obviously, they know how to get tickets because they are for free. But, you know, it's 18,000 people, and I'm sure the tickets are probably already accounted for precinct to precinct, which is great. And then we'll get to see the action, see all these men and women be honored as they deserve
Absolutely.
To be
and
at
you
some
know
later date.
You know, you see a cop, thank him. Say, hey, thanks a lot. I know I do all the time. I play the cop.
You know what I like about this, though, Steve? You know, the last time a major event like this happened, Boomer and I did that big softball game at Yankee Stadium when we lost three officers in the line of duty within like a two-week span of each other. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees donated the building, and 17,000 people came out to watch us play softball. But we did that in the name of three officers who lost their lives. This, thank God, is not for that. This is just an appreciation of what these men and women do for us with very little fanfare and very little thanks, especially from our politicians.
I mean, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I think it's you know, let's, you know, Jim is a really good guy, right? So you know him well.
I do.
I know him well. I know him a long time. Very generous guy, good guy. Doesn't take the credit or get the credit that he deserves. Look what he's doing right here.
And we got Garden of Dreams coming up shortly as well,
Garden
right?
of Dreams. We've raised, since we do, this is the fifth time I'm hosting it. This year's at Radio City. $8.5 million since we started this Garden of Laughs.
Right.
You know, and we got a great lineup. We got John Oliver and Andrew Schultz, Ronnie Chang, Zana Garg, Eliza Schlesinger, a really great lineup of comics and presenters. You got John Turturro, and you have Adam Graves, I know, is going to be there, and I think Justin Tuck and all kinds of presenters. So it's always a good night. Tickets are going fast. Get those tickets.
Those you can buy, by the way.
Every dollar goes where it's supposed to.
Yes.
You know, and I know, right? You get extra to do a lot of charity stuff, right?
Yep.
And everybody, you know, there's money going where it's not supposed to go. Everybody's volunteering. Every single person is volunteering here. And the Garden of Dreams Foundation has helped like a half a million kids since it's, you know.
It's a great charity. And our friends at Gotham Comedy help produce it. They help get a lot of the comedians in there as well.
Chris,
the Mazzilli family, Chris and Steve Mazzilli.
Good guys. And, and listen, you know, I grew up with no money. I grew up one of those kids with no money that needed help, you know, and played ball. And the money stays in the tri-state area.
Well, let me back up for a second. Yeah. You said you played ball?
I played basketball in college.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. How come I didn't know that?
I
thought you were talking about stickball, Bensonhurst.
Yeah. I was a captain my junior and senior, 100 pounds ago. Yeah.
Where did you play? What college?
I could really play.
He was slamming it down outside the Bada Bing in that one episode.
I played at Brooklyn basketball. College.
Yeah.
And then when I played at Brooklyn College, I played the Garden. I had 13 points of the Garden my senior year.
Okay.
And then when I moved to Vegas.
Okay.
I play with all them UNLV guys. I know Greg Anthony.
Really?
Since he was in high school. I know all them guys. I know Larry Johnson.
So Anderson Hunt.
I know Larry Johnson when he was handing out towels working at the Sporting House. There was one main place.
Go ahead.
It's, believe it or not, it's not a joke. It's a strip club now.
Okay.
Sapphires. It's a Sporting House. That's where everyone played. That's where a lot of UNLV players worked in the offseason. Anderson Hunt, Gerald Patio. Every single one of those guys, Ricky Sobers, I played.
Yeah.
All those guys.
So you played pickup with those guys?
All pickup. We had a lunch game.
Okay.
Which was good, but not as good. And then we had the night game. Danny Tarkanian.
Yeah.
Tournaments. And I actually got better as I got older because I got stronger.
Well, you also played against world-class basketball players.
These guys, it was great. You know?
So,
but I was never a UNLV fan.
Really?
I don't know. No, you know why I wasn't a UNLV fan? Because you had all these rich people in Vegas.
Right.
They didn't know a basketball from a hockey puck. Yeah.
Right.
But they like going to the games.
Well, they had no sports back then. That was like the team of Vegas.
UNLV was like the pro team.
And they got treated as such.
Oh, those guys were rock stars.
They got treated as such.
Yeah.
Flinny Ray Williams. You remember Flinny Ray Williams?
I don't remember that name.
He was before that group.
Okay.
He's been around. He's a casino host. Good guy. Worked for Steve Wynn. These guys wound up as valet parkers. They wound up some casino bosses, et cetera, et cetera.
So you were there when they played Duke in the tournament?
I was there.
Yeah.
I moved there in 1980.
Right.
My wife was born there. She went to UNLV.
Oh, so you guys met out in Vegas?
Yeah.
Got it.
My wife was born. She went to UNLV. And I stayed there. I mean, till about 2005, I went back and forth.
Yeah. Why'd you decide?
No, not 2005.
Why'd you leave Vegas? Got tired of the life?
No, because we're here.
Working.
Oh, that's
right. I got the job here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. What was the role when you first, to get back to The Sopranos for a second, because you said you came in season two. What was the role originally? Did you, like, when you first came on, just a couple of, just Uncle Junior's guy?
Well, I read for the role of an FBI agent.
Oh, you did?
That's what I read for. And then she said, nah, I see you. Read this. We have somebody of mine. I read that. I went back to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
She said, if I could get you to come back in front of David Chase. I didn't know who David Chase was.
I don't think anybody knows.
I had to fly myself back. My wife talked me into it.
Right.
She said, listen, you go ahead. Yeah, what the hell? Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to go for the money. And so that first season, I did six episodes. It cost me $24,000, and I made $22,000. And I kept my day job. For a whole year, I kept my day job. I wasn't going to quit the job.
Right.
They would have killed me off. He had
to pay rent.
So
at any moment.
First thing I did when I started making money, I paid the house off. I figured they'd kill me.
Right.
You know,
at least you had a place
to live.
I had a
big house in Vegas. I was living, I had two kids. I was 40 years old. I never thought about doing this for a living. You
really?
Know? And then, you know, I was acting, but it was a hobby, you know, like dabbling.
Right.
And then they, you know, gave me a contract and I came back here and.
When did you feel comfortable that you were like a regular on the show?
I was a regular season three.
Season three.
Season two, season three. Mm-hmm. Season four, I got fat enough on my own. They let me take it off. I have it, though. I own it.
You ever put it on?
No. I don't think I need that anymore.
There's a famous story that in that scene where Tony laughs at you, you walk in and you're dressed in like the hunting gear.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And to make him laugh, you did something or wore something.
I had a big dildo. I went to the prop guy. I said, what could you do? I need to make this guy laugh. What could you do?
Right.
You got anything? He had a wall of dildos. I'm not kidding you. In the truck. He had all different shapes, sizes. So I turned the corner. Nobody, I didn't tell anybody.
Right.
Chevy was directing. And I twirling it around. It's like a three-footer, like a doubleheader, like Italian bread. And I'm twirling it around. And you see Jim, that's what he's laughing at. And then if you look close, Uncle Junior almost cracks.
He almost got him?
Who I that's just funny. Had lunch with him, 95 years old.
Oh, God
is he still
him.
Singing?
Still singing.
Unbelievable.
Sharp really? As can be, remembers stuff. Say, remember that? 95 years old.
Do you guys ever get together like the group whenever you can, you know, the surviving members or no?
I saw Edie the other night at the game.
Right.
You know, I saw Edie. I see Michael. You know, everybody's all over the place. But no, well, I saw Stevie last week.
You did?
Stevie Van Zandt, and I saw Aida Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
He did something last week. But they had the 25th anniversary, and I saw everybody.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy, man. It's been so long, right?
Yeah,
but there's.
It stands the test of time. Not every show does.
And listen, there's some shows you look at. And that you liked years ago when you were younger. So you go, how did I like this?
You like the prequel?
It's so corny.
When they came out with it? Or not so much?
Not so much.
You didn't?
But I think that's a show. I think that needed to be told. He added more of a story that he wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
I do think if Jim didn't pass away, that there would have been
more
a prequel. I think there would have been a movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think after, you know, Jim and David Chase for 2-3 years after the show ended didn't speak.
Really?
They were like this, you know.
Because of the last episode?
I just think maybe you get tired of each other.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I mean, you know, they work closely.
50% of all marriages end in divorce.
I think they got tired of each other. But then David did a movie. But they respected each other, obviously.
And,
you know, they got back together. And I do believe the script was right, Jim would have.
He would have done it.
If he didn't pass away.
Yeah. People, I only got to meet him once or twice through some charity stuff. Good guy, everyone said like he had all your guys' backs, and it was
good
real.
Guy. You know, he really cared. You know, like yeah. you know, he would say, "You okay? You know, you okay with that? You want another take? You okay with them asking you to do that?" Generous money. You know, I told everybody a million times. He gave after his contract dispute. He gave each one of us $33,333.
Okay, why that number?
I have no idea, but 16 of us. He said, thanks for sticking by me. But think about it. 2004, that's like buying everybody an SUV.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You know I mean? Then another time, we did a thing in Vegas. It was a new, Soprano slot machine. He really wasn't into, like, glad-handing.
Right.
So I was, like, doing all the work, and I was going, hey, Jim, meet Mr. Smith. Meet this guy. The next day at breakfast, he goes, you did all the work. And you know, we went our business manager. He says, give him $10,000. And I went, no. I'm paid. I got paid. I'm more than good. Yeah. No, give him $10,000. The guy, Roger, our business manager, went, take the $10,000. I went, all right. It was like, buy him a beer.
Yeah, right, give him $10,000.
$10,000 meant nothing. By the way, that's not happening here.
No.
Just so you know.
Wouldn't presume.
You've
it.
Only done 57 shows. Yeah. That ain't happening for a long time here. Talking to the great Steve Sciarippa again. March 28th at Madison Square Garden. A special night to support the NYPD, the men and women, and their families.
It's going
to
be a great night. And MSG doing a wonderful thing.
They are.
A wonderful thing. Not the parking meter, guys.
Now, before I let you go. You know, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. You're a diehard Knicks fan. You go to a lot more games than I go to. Give me your honest feeling today. They play the Pelicans tonight. We're going to get the 50 wins. That's a lock. Half game behind the Celtics for the 2 seed, which would give us game 7 at home should it, you know, match up that way. Do you feel it in your bones?
I feel they get to the finals in my bones.
Eastern Conference or NBA?
The NBA Finals.
You think we advance?
I believe we get to the NBA Finals.
Not because you're
a fan. I'm not making
a
prediction.
I got you.
No, because I think we're peaking at the right time here. Everything's going to be just fine. Everybody's healthy. Things are going to work out. It's going to, you know what teams, it happens all at the right time. Just like the NCAAs.
No.
It's got to happen at the right time. It's happening right at the right
time. They're playing better ball. Bridges is a little questionable lately, but he plays every single night. And if Carl Anthony Towns, you know, he's the mercurial question mark. If he has one of those games where he's flopping and, you know, begging for calls,
he's always flopping.
It's a problem. Right.
He's always flopping. So that's going to happen. But I honestly believe, and I go to, like you said, I go to a lot of games, and I feel like I know what I'm talking about. I think they're peaking right at the right time. It's going to be
good. And
I like St. John's, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you went to Brooklyn College, but...
I'm a St. John's guy. No, I was at the...
You're not a St. John's guy. You're now a St. John's guy.
No.
Frank has a real problem with people rooting for St. John's
Brooklyn College
right
doesn't play at the Garden. I've been going to St. John's game before Patino. Who I happen to like, but no, I didn't just jump on the wagon. No,
A little bit. You weren't a Mike Jarvis guy.
Listen, I worked at Lou Konosecki's basketball camp when I was in college.
Okay, that's a good connection.
I went for when there was 8,000 people at a St. John's game at the Garden.
Right.
To now.
And that's the point I was making to Big Mac, which is, St. John's has always been the fabric of the five boroughs. Now, I grew up here. I liked Chris Mullin and Walter Berry, right? Lou Konosecki. I went to Syracuse. I became a Syracuse fan. So I was not a St. John's fan, you know, for the majority of Lou's run here as the head coach, you know, post that great, you know, Chris Mullin-led team. But it's been a fabric of us growing up in the five boroughs. I was born in Manhattan, lived in the Bronx, grew up in New Rochelle. But all of a sudden, it's like, you got all these Johnny-come-latelys who couldn't tell you who's on the team,
who are
like, St. John's, I've always loved you.
But what other college team in...
There isn't one.
In the city, there isn't
one. Right. Syracuse is number two in New York City.
You know, years ago, I'm older than you guys. Years ago, Fordham had some good teams.
Sure.
Okay, Columbia had some good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you had St. John's. There wasn't, you know, one of the biggest tickets was the holiday tournament.
Yes.
The Christmas tournament at the Garden. You couldn't get a ticket to that.
Right. I mean, if you go way back before your time, CCNY. You know, I think won a championship.
Yeah,
there was the point 50s, fixing nonsense.
Floyd Lane, who I played against. He coached CCNY when I played.
Is that right?
I played against him a few times.
There you go. Did you have a favorite, like, schoolyard legend? Like, I'm good friends with Kenny Anderson. I think Kenny Anderson is the best point guard to come out of New York. I know there's a debate on that. We don't have to argue it. But if you go back, as far as you go back, if you were going to put together like two, three guys, well, New York legends.
Do you remember Ernie Dowse?
Of course.
Played at LIU.
Uh-huh.
LIU was a great player.
Yeah.
So, you know, things go one way or the other. Ernie Dowse is a pro.
Yes.
And a real pro.
You know, the one guy, obviously, I never saw
play. Connie Hawkins. I mean, I love that. I read the book. I mean, I think he got a raw deal. I watched that ABA. Did you watch it?
Yeah, it's very good. It's very, very good.
Very well
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
But I've been a Connie Hawkins fan from way back.
Yeah.
But he didn't get to the NBA till he was 28 years old.
Right, very late.
You know, I mean, and he got a really raw deal.
Do you wish that, because obviously I never saw him play, I assume you didn't either. I would have loved to have seen Earl Manigault play. Because he's the original GOAT. Like we talk about greatest of all time. His last name was Manigault. He was a street yard legend. Unfortunately, succumbed to drugs and never made it. But you talk to any guy of that
era.
I know,
that's what they say, but I have to see for myself.
Yeah, but
because, you know, things get lost in translation,
sure.
right? You know what
also
I mean?
True.
You know, like, I mean, he picked quarters off the top of the backboard.
He did. Yeah. He's 5'11".
Is that it, right?
Really?
Did he really?
Is that what they say?
That's what
did
they say.
Really?
there was another guy.
He stacked him.
Sure. There was another guy. He cradled the ball, and he went so high up above the rim, he punched it through.
The goal, yeah.
Did he do that?
Yeah, the claim is that Earl Manigault, who was, I don't think he was even 6 foot tall, could stack and take quarters off the top of the backboard.
Maybe he could.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he could.
Right?
Maybe he could.
He had Fly Williams, right?
I mean,
I had a lot of these guys. I mean,
yeah. Well, it's good seeing you, man.
Good seeing you.
Yeah.
You're doing well.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So, again, you'll be able to check it out on MSG. I will give you a date when it's going to air. But it's a special event March 28th at Madison Square Garden to support NYPD. And like Steve said, appreciate the police. If you see them, thank them, hug them, say hi to them. And understand that's going to be a very, very special event. I'm sure there won't be a dry eye in the house when it's all said and done. And it's great that these amazing performers are giving their time to this worthy cause as well.
Volunteering, man. And then Garden of Laughs.
Yeah, that you can buy tickets to.
And dollar goes where it's supposed to. And it's going to be a great night. Hey, look. Things are crazy now. We need some laughs here.
We do.
If there's ever a time.
I agree.
Things are pretty upside down.
That event, by the way, that's April 13th at Radio City. At best, there's a handful of tickets left for that, I'm sure. But it's some of the top touring comics in the world. And they all donate their time again for this amazing cause. I'm glad you're doing well, pal. Good to see you.
All is good.
How are your kids? They're good?
They're great.
Are they? Is everybody in New York?
Married to guys. Everybody's in New York.
Your grandfather now?
No.
Not yet.
But they got married nice guys.
Okay.
Good. Kids are good.
Do you bust their balls when they bring a guy home?
Well, I did.
You did?
But not anymore. I mean,
but like when your daughter first brings the guy home.
Yeah. I'm not nice to them. You can't be nice to them.
You can't, I know.
Like my friend said the other day, you know, the guy calls me Mr. whatever his name is, you know, Mr. Sharippa.
Right.
He said, I got to tell him my name is, no, you call me Mr. Sharippa until I decide not.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
By the way, my dad did the same thing.
Yeah.
My dad's, you know, you guys look very similar. It's a little freaky to me. And he'll be 89 in October. And, you know, Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, lived in every borough other than Manhattan growing up. Quonset Hudson, the Bronx, the whole thing. Born in 1937. And when anyone would bring somebody home, yeah, well, I have one sister, but if she brought a guy home, you couldn't call him by his first name.
No.
You got to earn that right.
Yeah, absolutely. And they both were very respectful.
Yeah.
They came, they asked me.
Their hand in marriage?
They moved in together, which I'm absolutely fine with that.
Yeah.
I live with my wife. I mean, And then when they wanted to get married, they came to me and, you know, and I didn't do that. I should have done that to my father.
Did you elope?
Who was a wonderful guy. No, I just didn't ask him. I just gave him the ring. But I should have done that. He was a wonderful guy, my father-in-law and mother-in-law.
Yeah.
I got along better with them than I did my own parents. But they're both respectful guys, Mike and Zach, good guys.
Nice.
Their job is to take care of my daughters.
That's exactly right.
The only job they have.
That's all I have.
Don't mess it up.
Take care of my daughter.
I played my father-in-law and gave him a horse for the right to marry my wife. Yeah,
wow.
I was doing radio in Denver at the time, and I knew I was going to propose. And we only dated for a couple months. I just knew. And I asked him to go to the local gym with me, and we're just messing around.
Did he play?
He's not bad. He played a lot of JCC games back in the day in Philadelphia. And I go, listen, I'd like to ask you permission to marry your daughter, but rather than just ask you, I'd rather play you one-on-one. And he goes, I'm not playing you one-on-one, because I was like, you know, 30, and he was obviously well older than me. So we agreed to play a game of horse. He claims he missed on purpose. I keep telling him he didn't have a good shot. But that's how I got the right to marry
my wife. I like that. Wasn't that the, remember the, you ever see the movie Dinah?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Dinah, right? She had to take the football test.
She had to do the test, the quiz, yeah. Well, that's Steve Shripp, everybody.
Hey, good seeing you guys.
Make sure you get tickets for April 13th at Radio City for the Garden of Dreams Foundation's event, The Garden of Laughs. And again, March 28th, which is just a week away now, going to be a very special night at Madison Square Garden. I'm glad you're well and good to see you, pal.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
Steve Shripp, everybody. Quick break.
Go Knicks.
That's right. Back to your calls after this.